Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? Excellent. Amen. Awesome. We're going to get into an interesting word this morning as we open up to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to just love this message. So as we go to the Word of God, let me just pray for it. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the blessing of the church. I pray, Lord, that we just come together as we learn your word. Just help us to understand it and help me teach it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, this is what the Word of God says. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interest, but also at the interest of others." Your attitude, can we all just say that, attitude? So nudge your neighbor and say, your attitude. So it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Amen. Your attitude, yes, it's our Bible, not just mine, it says it. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. How many of you want God to exalt you? I think we all do. Notice that God can't do much exalting in our lives until our attitudes change. Today, I want to preach this morning on the subject of watch your attitude. Watch your attitude. Hey, how many of you, if you're honest, can say, "Pastor, I need to hear this message. I need some attitude adjustments in my life. Can you show me your hands?" All right. We're going to be so blessed this morning. The Word of God says our attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus. This message came to me not by reading the Bible, but by reading an article of a particular anniversary in July. That anniversary is July 16th, 1999. Some of you were around. Some of you know exactly what happened, but you probably don't even remember. See, I was reading this article about JFK Jr. You guys remember this guy? The ladies remember him? All right. JFK Jr. was just a handsome man. Would you say amen? Amen. Look at that. Yeah. Hey, you're in church. Calm down. JFK was a handsome man. He had it all. He was a successful lawyer, publisher, journalist. We focus, you know, Word of God. Yeah, not him. He was a successful lawyer, publisher, journalist. He had money. He had good looks. Everyone wanted to be him. Everyone wanted to be like him. He had fame. He had wealth. He had the wife, he had the career, he had the house, he had the car, he had the travel, he had the life that all of us would dream of and wish to have. But sadly, on July 16th, 1999, his plane that he was flying, that's the plane right there, sadly crashed. And it made headlines everywhere as his life tragically ended when that plane came down crashing in the Atlantic. And as they picked up the plane from the deep water and they examined it, what's so tragic is that no one can figure out why this plane went tragically down.
So as everyone was baffled and saying, this plane had no engine failure, nothing happened mechanically, there is no reason why this plane should have crashed. And then they made this conclusion. You see, every plane is built with this small piece of equipment called an attitude indicator. And that's what it looks like. And the attitude indicator is a gauge on the plane that helps the pilot realize which direction the nose of that plane is pointed. So if the indicator shows that the plane nose is tilted up, the pilot knows the plane is going up. If the indicator indicates that the nose is down, the pilot knows that the plane is going down. The indicator shows whether the plane is centered or veering off course. So it's vital for the pilot not to assume the plane is right, not to assume the plane is up, not to assume the plane is centered or down. He knows the direction of the plane when he looks at his attitude meter and checks it. But see, they believe that JFK Jr. did not check his attitude. In fact, they said that because it was dark at night that he was flying, he assumed the plane was at the right level of height. He assumed that the plane's direction was right on course. And he had no idea that his plane was slowly descending. And what's so tragic about the JFK Jr. story and plane crash is that experts believe if he would have taken less than a second to just gaze at the attitude indicator, it would have saved his life. It would have saved the life of his wife and sister-in-law. And he would not have lost everything had he just for 1 second looked down at that attitude indicator. But because he just wanted to assume and go by what he saw, sadly, that plane went down. The reality is that this is a perfect picture of what Philippians chapter 2 is telling us. Your attitude is vital to your life. Your attitude will determine your altitude. The way your attitude goes will reflect the way your family goes, your marriage goes. Your whole life is indicated by your attitude. The reality is that the Bible shows that if we do not check our attitude, it can determine whether your life is going to be blessed or cursed. Your attitude will determine whether your life will be blessed or destroyed. See, God has given us through His Word an attitude indicator. And He tells us that we are to check it. See, your attitude does determine the direction of your life. And if you don't check your attitude, you can easily find yourself losing more than you needed to lose. Failure to check your attitude can have damaging consequences. You see, your attitude is a settled way of thinking. It's a settled way of feeling. Your attitude is how I think and how I feel towards something or someone. We must watch our attitude because it will determine the direction of our life. It will make a difference in a life of prosperity or a life of destruction. What's so tragic is that JFK Jr. had everything going for him and he lost it because he failed for 1 second to simply check his attitude. I've seen personally as a pastor bad attitudes destroy families, destroy marriages, destroy churches, children, jobs, and lives. People's lives are destroyed because they fail, not because they have bad attitudes, but it's because they fail to check it and make adjustments. See, on that plane, when that attitude indicator tells you you're off course, you're too high, you're too down, you're too left, you're too right, you are off course, it is your job not only to check the attitude, but make the adjustments. See, a lot of you, you've checked your attitudes. You know you have a bad one. Amen? Amen? The problem is that when you do an attitude check, you fail to make the adjustments. And when you fail to adjust the wrong attitude, before you know it, that wrong attitude will destroy your life and the blessings of your life. It's so tragic to think how 1 second would have made all the difference had he just checked his attitude. And as a pastor and counselor, I think, well, how 1 second of you adjusting your attitude can change everything in your life, can actually set you on the right course, can actually bless your life and your home. But too many people never adjust their attitudes because they either fail to check it or think they don't need to adjust it. And that attitude is called pride, so therefore you need to adjust it. How powerful is your attitude? Well, Genesis 31, verse 1 and 2, notice how powerful your attitude is. The Bible says that Jacob heard Laban, his father-in-law, Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything from our father, which wasn't true. He took everything our father owned and gained all his wealth from what, notice, from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's what? Attitude toward him was not what had been. In other words, Jacob had a great relationship with his father-in-law Laban. He had grandkids, he had a great family, everyone was strong, everyone was blessed, everyone was together. They had a picture-perfect family because of Jacob. But Laban was listening to the wrong people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Listening to the wrong people who give the wrong advice, who make the wrong assumption. And they went to Laban and they said, hey, you know, we think that Jacob is lying. Jacob is cheating you. That's why his name is Jacob. He's taking from you. And all of a sudden, Laban, who loved Jacob, who was blessed by Jacob, who had a great family because of Jacob, his attitude changed for the worse. So his attitude indicator says, you're off course right now, you're not thinking right, you're not feeling right, you're not treating Jacob right, because his attitude changed. And in one day, the Bible said God told Jacob, get out of here, leave. And in one day, because of Laban's attitude, he lost not only Jacob, he lost his two daughters, he lost his grandchildren, he lost the blessings, he lost so much and then some, all because Laban had the wrong attitude. So it shows me that the wrong attitude can cost you your family. People that think, no, they'll never leave me. They'll be around. They're not going to do anything. They can put up with me. No. All it takes is one more day of your bad attitude to lose your spouse, your children, your home, everything. And I wonder now that Jacob must have looked back and said, man, I'm glad I got out of there, because I couldn't stand another day of Laban's attitude. And I can imagine Laban saying, I can't believe I lost my family. I lost the blessing. I lost everything because of my attitude. had I just checked it and adjusted the attitude, Jacob would have been here right now. Do you know how many families are destroyed because of wrong attitudes? Because you're listening to the wrong people, their attitude is changing. People you used to be friends with and you used to like, you used to get along with, you no longer stand. Because not only are you listening to the wrong people, but you had the wrong attitude. Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar loved them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually blessing Nebuchadnezzar. But again, the wrong people started talking to him. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his what? Attitude toward them changed. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. You see, here's another thing that your attitude can do. Not only, like Laban, can your attitude cost you relationships, but your attitude can cause you to do drastic things you never thought you'd do. Nebuchadnezzar never imagined he would have sent his 3 friends to the furnace to be burned alive. I'm not saying that's what you're going to do. But the reality is, it's because of Nebuchadnezzar's attitude change for the worse. He ordered that they be burned alive. And if you're not careful, your attitude can lead you so off course, it can cause you to do drastic things. Things you never thought you do. I've seen people do drastic things because of wrong attitudes. One bad attitude can cause you to all of a sudden lose it and you quit your job. A job that you need right now. But you just can't take it anymore. And in your attitude, you say, I'm done. And you walk away. You have no plans. You have no other job lined up. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. You just drastically did it because your attitude was wrong. I've seen people, because of wrong attitude, like Nebuchadnezzar, do drastic things like end their marriage. And in one day, they said, I'm done with them. I'm going to leave them. I'm going to cheat on them. I'm done with this. I'm out. And they call it quits. All because of a wrong attitude. The wrong attitude, like Nebuchadnezzar, will get you to not only say the wrong thing, but it will get you to do the wrong thing. Your attitude has a profound control on your behavior. That's why the Bible says it's so vital that you check your attitude. If we just check our attitudes and make the adjustments right now, don't you realize that Laban would have continued to have been blessed? He would have still had Jacob and his daughters and his grandkids, and his life would have been so much better had he looked at his attitude and made the adjustments. Nebuchadnezzar would have been so far blessed had he made the adjustments and he seen his attitude. But because they failed to check their attitudes and make the adjustments, they lost so much. I wonder, what are you potentially losing or not gaining from God because of your attitude? Can I keep going? Are we going to have a good attitude today in church? Here's the truth about your attitude. You choose your attitude. Don't be blaming people. You know, people say, no, I have an attitude. Why? Because I'm Cuban. Because I'm from here. It's in my DNA. No, it's not as in your DNA. It's in your S-I-N. It's sin. And we just want to excuse it. But the reality is that you choose your attitude. You don't blame people. You don't blame circumstance. You don't blame conditions. You know what I mean? How many times I talk to people that have the worst attitudes and they know it. They say, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm angry. I know I'm prideful. I know I'm arrogant. I know, but I'm like, here it goes. And they give me some sob story of their childhood, their parents, their spouse, their job, their circumstances, life, even God. If God would do this more, maybe my life would be better and I would have a better attitude. And we are putting conditions towards our attitudes. But the reality is, attitude is not conditional. You choose your attitude. You may not be able to choose your circumstances in life. You can't choose what people do to you, say about you, but you can choose how you react and your attitude about it. Let me give you a prime example by putting myself out there. I am an identical twin. Identical. The reality is that our attitudes are different from you. You know Danny, you know me. When Danny and I go play golf, it's crazy. It's a whole. I see our attitudes. How different. When I play golf, I'm serious about it. I'm serious. I got awesome clubs. I got the outfit on point. I got everything awesome. And I'm practicing. I'm warming up. I'm stretching. I'm ready to golf. Danny shows up in sandals. Doesn't stretch. Doesn't go to the driving range, hit a few balls, doesn't warm up. He says, I'm ready. I'm like, you're not ready, you gotta stretch. No, I don't. I'm good. So when we go play golf, and I hit the ball wrong, and it goes and it hits a car, which is a true story, I broke a window, and it hits houses, and it goes off course, I let it go until it happens two or three times. And then I get frustrated. I confess, I've thrown a club or two. I've beat up the ground like it's the ground's fault. I've thrown my bag. I don't know how many times I've quit playing golf only to come back to it. And it ruins my whole day. It really does. And I no longer focus on the good shots, but focus on the bad ones in the last hole. And it angers me. Danny, he's a worse golfer than me. Danny never hits it on course. Never. I witnessed Danny hit the ball. The ball hit a tree and the ball hit him back. You know what Danny did? Did you see that? The whole time we're playing golf, he's making the worst shots. He hits ducks. He hits the water. He misses completely. He does a full swing around. And he's just laughing. And he's having a good time. And in the end of the day, he's still smiling. And in the end of the game, he's like, we're going to do this again. And I'm like, never. I hate golf. And Dan's like, but it was so much fun. What's the difference? Same game. But it's attitude. It's how you view things. Some people feel justified in bad attitudes. Some people feel justified because of what someone's currently or has done to you. The situation that you're in. Because you're tired. Because you're stressed, I have the right to say and do the wrong things to you. When are we going to stop blaming and start owning? You choose your attitude. Let me show you that attitude is not conditional. Because since the very beginning, since Adam and Eve, life was perfect. They were in the garden. There was no sin yet. There was no pain. There was no frustration. Everything was great. The wife listened. The husband was kind. Love, the marriage was perfect. But they had the wrong attitude. They had an ungrateful attitude that caused them to sin. So it showed you that even in the midst of a perfect world, wrong attitudes can still creep up. It's not circumstantial. Amen? Think about David. David, at the worst condition of his life, while his family abandoned him, while he was being lied about, attacked, hiding in caves, he wrote some of the most beautiful psalms and worship hymns. Why? Because his attitude was not based on condition. He had the right attitude in the wrong circumstances. He had the right attitude when people were mistreating him. He had the right attitude when life was unfair. But see, here's the thing about David. When life was fair for David and life was good for David, David had the wrong attitude. Once David made it to the palace and life was good, he had an ungrateful attitude. He had a prideful attitude and he committed sin with Bathsheba. So it shows you that attitude is not conditional, because you can have the best of circumstances and still have the worst of attitudes, and you can have the worst of circumstances and still have the best attitude. So attitudes are not based on what people do or the condition of your life. We can just shut that down. Think about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. If there's anyone I feel is entitled to have a bad attitude, it's Joseph. He was sold into slavery, abandoned by his brothers, cleaning floors, mopping with the buckets. Horrible life. But the people noticed something godly about him. Which shows me that even though he was treated unfair and life was hard, Joseph remained to have a godly attitude. See, does the wrong circumstances cause you to lose your godly attitude? Does it take just one person, one word, one person to cut you off in traffic, one unfair circumstance to get you to lose your attitude and go about it the wrong way? Your bad attitude is not because of this, because of that. Stop thinking that your attitude will be better once your circumstances are better. Well, Pastor, my attitude towards her will change if she changes. My attitude towards him will change if he changes. If my kids change, my attitude will be better. If I had a different job, I'd have a better attitude. If my life was not what it is right now, my attitude wouldn't be what it is right now. And we put all these excuses and reasonings and reasons why my attitude is wrong because my life is wrong. That is not the case. Your attitude is wrong because you're wrong. It's not what happened to you or what is currently happening to you that is giving you a wrong attitude. In Jesus' name, it's you. It's you. Point. This is the only time in church I'm going to let you point. Point to your neighbor and say, it's you. It's not me. It's you. And now you return the favor. No, it's you too. Go ahead, point him. Point the blame. It's not conditional. It's sad because like Laban, you're going to find yourself miserable and alone if your attitude doesn't change. Who wants to be around someone with a bad attitude? Can I list a few attitude killers? Can I, church? If you check one, quickly, where no one can look, just raise your hand. If this is you, all right? Can we do that? So here's an attitude killer. Number one, false expectation. Okay, I got a few people. The rest are lying. False expectation. You have unrealistic expectations for life and others and God. You go into relationships assuming how they should be. How this person should act. So therefore, because of your false expectation or unrealistic expectation, you're expecting everyone to do it your way. You're expecting everyone to treat you kindly. You're expecting everyone to drive right. You're expecting everyone to act right. And therefore, when those expectations fail, there's anger. There's bitterness. There's resentment. False expectation will bring wrong attitudes like anger, bitterness, and resentment. Number two, comparison. Comparison will lead you to have a very bad attitude. Comparison, looking yourself in the eyes of others and other circumstances, causes you to have an ungrateful attitude. You begin to look at what someone has and you forget what you have. You begin to ask God, why them and not me? You look at their house, their marriage, their kids, their job, their car, their boat, their vacation home, their this, their that, their clothes. You look at everything. And it gets you to just feel a little bit ungrateful. It gives you an attitude of ungratefulness. It gives you an attitude of envy. It even gives you an attitude of low self-esteem. I don't measure up to them. I'm not like them. Therefore, there's something wrong with me, and you put yourself down. Comparison can give you even the wrong self-esteem, and you have pride. You begin to compare yourself to others, and you belittle them. You think that they're lower than you. So wherever you have false expectation, you have anger, bitterness, and resentment. Wherever you have comparison, you have ungratefulness, envy, and low self-esteem and pride. Wherever you have entitlement, you feel as though life and people owe you. I deserve this. What about me attitude? Then you create this selfish, self-centered, me attitude. You take that into every place you go. The workplace, your marriage, church, family. It all becomes about me. So when I have false expectations, I get angry, I get bitter, I have resentment. When I start drawing comparison, I become ungrateful, I become envious, I have low self-esteem and pride. Whenever I have entitlement, I become selfish and self-centered. What about a negative attitude? How many negative people do I have here? Let's not mistake what negativity is. Let me explain the difference between being negative and being real. Negative versus reality. Because we can't live in a world where we assume that we can never hear anything wrong or negative. That's just not realistic. A doctor comes up to you, you go to the doctor's office. The doctor tells you you have high cholesterol. You got to work on your heart. Do you have a right to say he's being negative towards you? Do you? The doctor says, no, you're sick. No, you're negative. No, he's being real. That's reality. You're sick. You need a diet. You need a change. That's reality. For example, if I tell you right now, hey, looks like rain today. Don't you come to me, I denounce that in the name of Jesus, stop being negative. No, it's reality. The sky is black. No, you're just negative. It's going to be sunshine and rainbows. Yes, after the rain. You're so negative, Pastor. Stop being like that. If I tell you right now, oh my goodness, I can't pay next month's light bill. They're going to cut off the light. And then my fridge isn't going to work and my food's going to be spoiled. Do you have a right to say, no, you're just being negative? No, that's reality. If I don't pay my bill, they're going to cut the lights. See, a lot of people mistake this idea of, don't be negative. Don't talk negative. Don't think negative. No, think reality. Now here's the difference. It looks like rain today. Why does God do this to me? He knows I wanted to go to the beach. It's because He hates me. He's mad at me. It's not fair. Last weekend, it was a beautiful day, and so went to the beach. But this weekend, of course, my weekend, it rains. Life is so unfair. Negative. Got it? There's a huge difference between being negative and being real. See, I need friends that I can go to and tell them my reality without them telling them I'm negative. But here's the thing. There are some people that want to avoid being negative all the time, that they fail to see reality because they're too much in the positive. So when the light bill's about to be cut, you're like, no, the Lord shall provide. So I'm going to buy this purse and not pay the bill. And they're so positive. And they're like, no, it's not going to rain. The clouds are black. The wind is blowing. But in faith, I'm going to leave my umbrella at home. And then you're soaking wet. See, we get so caught up between positive and negative, we fail to see reality. So don't make that mistake. Another attitude killer is pride. Pride is a high view of yourself. Any prideful people? Prideful people, you're always right. And even when you're wrong, you're right. You know, you admit you're wrong, but you blame it on something or someone. That's not saying you're wrong. I can say, oh, I was wrong, but technically, if you would have done it this way, I would not have wronged it. That's pride. Pride is never wrong. Pride is always right. You know, pride can't be corrected. Someone tells you what to do. Stop being negative. Someone tells you what to do, it bothers you. Someone tells you how to do it better, it offends you. Prideful people can't be advised. Prideful people come to church and hate being corrected. Prideful people feel like their way is the best. And you should do it my way. No, prideful people right now are saying this sermon is great for someone else. So-and-so needs to hear this. No, you need to hear this. Prideful people never see themselves at fault. One of my favorite attitude killers is self-pity. Feeling sorry for yourself. Being a victim. Life is unfair. I'm always so disappointed. It never goes my way. That's going to lead you to have an attitude of discouragement. Lost faith. When you've lost faith, you're just thinking God's done with you. You lose hope. Hope is the expectation of better things to come, but you no longer expect it. See, look at all these attitudes. How many of you identify with at least one attitude killer? See, that's the attitude indicator telling you. Adjust it. Adjust it. Attitude is serious. If you don't want to be like Laban and Nebuchadnezzar, adjust your attitude. Because maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I agree with false expectation. I relate to comparison, entitlement, negativity, pride, selfishness, self-pity. I have all these attitudes. How do I change it? Do I just pray, Lord, change my attitude? Do I just pray and God's going to give me a better attitude? No. It takes adjustment all the time. You check and adjust. Check and adjust. Come on, say it with me. Check and adjust. You go to church, I'm checking you right now. You leave church, you say, okay, I got to make some adjustments. The reality is, if any of you agreed with any one of these attitude killers, what are you doing to adjust it? What are you doing to change it? Are you just going to wait like Laban until it's all over? Are you going to do it like JFK Jr. and just realize you were wrong when everything crashes on you? Or when God gives you the blessing of an indicator and you see that you're off course, make the adjustments so you get back on course and the Lord can bless in every area of your life, because your attitude will bless you tremendously anywhere it goes. The right attitude will bless your job, your family, your marriage, your children, your church, anywhere at any time. The right attitude, like Joseph, will get you promoted. Will bless you. And you're saying right now, well, Pastor, I think it's impossible. Because I've been angry forever. I can't get rid of this low self-esteem and this pity and this negativity. I can't stop my selfishness. Yes, you can. And here's how. Let's go back to this first point so you can realize this. Your attitude is not your condition. We can all relate in this church that right now, life is hard. Life is something maybe right now, currently, you don't like. Maybe there's certain people in your circle You can't stand right now. And maybe you're frustrated. God is looking at you right now. And he's saying, you can still have the right attitude. Life is not the problem. Your attitude is. And when your attitude is left unchecked, it can bring the whole plane down. So God gives us an attitude indicator. And it's Jesus. Because Philippians said in verse 5, your attitude should be the same of that of who? Christ Jesus. So let's think about this for a minute. The attitude indicator, see, God says, you need to have the right attitude. Okay, God, I got it. Got it. But see, God says, this is the indicator that you have the right attitude. The indicator, your gauge that you look at is Jesus. And if it's not like Jesus, you're out of line, you're out of course. And I know what you're thinking because I know my church. You guys are my family. Great. Impossible. You mean to tell me I have to be like perfect, sinless, never wrong, always right, godly, holy Jesus? Pastor, do you know who I am? You might as well throw this message away. Because there's no one that can be like Jesus. You're right. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's our indicator. And you might be thinking, that's a lot to follow. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus, you know, I was preaching to the men in the homeless this weekend. The feeding of the 5,000, they had a little basket of 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And the disciples were like, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not going to go far. Send them home. Forget it. Let's go, Jesus. They were negative. They were just down. Jesus got that same basket, looked up to God and said, thank you. He's grateful. Grateful for what wasn't enough. You guys following me? What an attitude. When Jesus was in the storm, the disciples, don't you care about us? Self-pity. Self-pity. We're not good enough. Jesus doesn't care about us, guys. One of them was so negative. We're going to die. It's over. And Jesus was like sleeping. What an attitude of faith. Calm. When Jesus was confronted by the Roman soldiers in the garden, those guys were evil. They hated him. They couldn't stand him. The Jews could not stand the Romans. And when those Jewish disciples saw the Romans, they cringed. Saint Peter, Holy Peter, got a knife out and he cut a guy. You know, some Christians in the church can cut you. And not physically with a knife maybe, but the Bible says your tongue is a sword. How do you react when you're confronted with someone you don't like? Peter just cut the guy's ear off only because he missed. He went for the jugular. He wanted to kill the guy. Not Jesus. Jesus, same Roman soldier. And Jesus touched him and healed him. Let me ask you this convicting question. Does your tongue bring healing or pain to others? I'll stop right there. Your silence says it all. But Jesus was so grateful, so faithful. He was so kind. He met needs. He was in the same storm with the same people, in the same problems, in the same world with the same sinners, and he never acted in the wrong attitude. So I know you're saying, Pastor, you just proved my point. I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. I cut people. I hurt people. I'm ungrateful. I am not like Jesus. So should I just quit this sermon and give it up? No. It's impossible to be Jesus. But see, here's what the Bible said. As we go back to Philippians 5. Notice what it says after. Philippians 5, he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's the indicator. And here's the how. Verse 6. Who being in the very nature of God. Number 1, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Verse 7, but he made himself nothing, taking the form and the nature of a what? Servant. Being made in the human likeness. Verse 8, he says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Because sometimes the right attitude feels like you're at the cross dying. Verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him. Let me tell you what God says. Jesus is the indicator, but notice how he acted. Jesus was all about pleasing God and serving others. If you want your attitude to be adjusted to that of Christ Jesus, you have to have the same motive of Jesus. Not be Jesus, but have his motives. Jesus was all about humbling himself, being about pleasing God and serving others. I promise you, church, when your life becomes about pleasing God and serving others and nothing about you, God will exalt you and your attitude will change. Because here's the indication of a bad attitude: the false expectation, the comparison, the entitlement, the negativity, the pride, the self-pity. They all have this in common. If you're feeling this way, it's because you have yourself in mind. The self-pity person only has them in mind. The prideful person says, what about my way? Pride, me, entitlement, me, comparison, me, false expectation, what I wanted. You want a miserable life? Do you? No. Then get your mind off yourself and be about pleasing God and serving others. But Pastor, what if you can't stand a person? What if they don't change? Pastor, what if they're wrong? What would Jesus do? How many wrong people did he confront? How many people did he have around that he didn't like? Your attitude is not conditional. If you would just say, I'm going to please God and not my flesh. So even though I want to cut you right now, even though I want to tell you something, even though I want to hurt you right now, even though I want to turn my back on you because I'm all about pleasing God and serving others, I'm going to be just please God and I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to say hi to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be there for you. And when God sees that, he picks you up and exalts you. He blesses you. You want to be blessed? Check your attitude. Because right now, I can indicate this about your attitude. You're miserable, angry, upset all the time. Because your attitude needs to change. If you repent of a bad attitude and say, Lord, I'm going to be about pleasing you and serving them, God in turn puts his attention on you. When Jesus emptied himself, did not consider that he was God, the Bible said. He didn't say to people, do you know who I am? I am God. Bow down and worship. You know, he wasn't like that. He didn't walk like just... He was the most normal dude you ever seen. And he just scrubbed people's feet, ew. He fed people. He talked nice to people. Messed up, broken people. He invited them to dinner. He was all about pleasing. All the way to the cross. Could you go all the way today? And say, until I die, I'm going to be about serving people and pleasing God. The right attitude is like being crucified. Right now you're like, Pastor, no. Like driving nails through you. You want me to be kind? Ow! You want me to give and serve them? Why have you forsaken me? You're like suffering like Jesus. Because you're going to be blessed like Jesus. Exalted like Jesus. So in Jesus' name, by His example, can we say today, church was like an attitude indicator. And the Holy Spirit just told you right now, you're off. You're out of line. You're off course. Maybe tonight you need to apologize to someone. Repent and say, hey, I'm sorry. Don't you say but. Just say I was wrong. Don't you say but you're wrong too. Just say I was wrong. I'm sorry for my actions. I'm sorry for my words. I'm sorry for my ungratefulness. I'm sorry for treating you lower than me. It takes humility to send out a text of apology. You might have to refriend an unfriended person on Facebook today. I don't know. You might have to call someone and say, hey, want to have lunch? Do you want to have lunch? It's going to hurt. I want you to picture Jesus on that cross when you apologize or you treat him kindly. When you're at work tomorrow and that coworker next to your office you can't stand, you just look at him and say, oh Lord, what are you doing? Why? Why? Lord, do you want to have lunch with me? No. Picture yourself on that cross and say, Lord, change my attitude so he can bless you. Let's all stand and pray. Let's have some adjustment today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today. You're saying, Pastor, attitude adjustment is like being crucified. Exactly. We crucify the flesh daily. You're here today. You're saying, I have a lot of attitude killers in my life. You're saying, Pastor, I'm like Laban. I'm at the verge of losing my family because of my attitude. Pastor, I'm like Nebuchadnezzar. My attitude is causing me to think and do drastic things. I'm not acting like myself. You know, the Lord right now loves you right now more than ever. Even if you have false expectation, you've fallen into comparison, entitlement, negativity, pride, self-pity, whatever. I don't want you to find yourself in the future. I don't want your plane to go down. I don't want you to live a life of loneliness and look back and say how things could have been different had my attitude been different. It takes great humility to have a sermon like this preached to you. It takes even greater humility to have a sermon like this preached to you and you guys listen and apply it to your life. Why don't you show God your hands today as an act of confession? Say, Pastor, I need some adjustments in my attitude. Show me your hands today. God bless you. You put your hand down. Only the Lord can change your attitude. Life doesn't have to change. Your circumstances don't need to change. People don't need to change to have your attitude change. You can change right now if you would humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. Tell the Lord right now what your attitude is. Say, Lord, my attitude is anger, it's ungratefulness, it's comparison. It's my mouth, the things I say, the things I do. It's not worth losing the blessings that God wants to give you. or the blessings you have right now because of a bad attitude. So make the adjustments. Be about pleasing God, serving others. And sometimes pleasing God will put you on the cross. You will suffer. But if you can crucify that flesh of yours, God can exalt you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray for every person here, every person listening. Father, our attitudes indicate that they need adjustment. You are the indicator, Jesus. Father, I pray for anyone here that's suffering from an attitude killer. I pray for anyone here who's suffering, who's losing family, losing friends, because they can't seem to shake off that attitude that's killing them. Father, give us the strength to humble ourselves, seek forgiveness for our bad attitudes, and treat everyone like you would, to please you in all of our ways, all of our words, in all areas of our lives. Let us have the attitude of Christ. Let us empty ourselves and not be full of ourselves. And give us your attitude, Lord, so that the world may give you the glory. So that wherever we're at, it is a place of blessing because we're there and our attitudes are right. So as we leave this church this morning, we go back home, back to our families, back to our routine, back to our jobs. Wherever we're at, whatever we do, let it glorify you through our attitude. When we're tempted and we fail in the attitude check, let us just repent and get back on it. But Father, we pray that you would prevent tragedy as you adjust our attitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope you guys enjoyed that message today.